Welcome to the February 7th, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is from the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Why Are We Afraid? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Now it sounds like 11 o'clock. We welcome you to worship at College Park. We are so pleased that you have joined us here this morning. We want to find out who is in worship today. We have pew pads on every pew. We invite members and guests alike to fill that out. Put your name down. Check the appropriate boxes and send it so that everybody has a chance to fill that out. We do ask that once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be very helpful for us. Members, this is your opportunity to find out the name of a guest that's on your pew. Introduce yourself at the end of the service. Once it gets back to the first person who signed it this morning, if you could tear out the pages that were used, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Several things that we've got going on today. We started our new recreation service at 9 o'clock. Big crowd, great worship service. It was a wonderful time together. Appreciate everyone who was able to come this morning. It was just an amazing time to be together and a great start to this new service. And that will be at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. And that has shifted our morning schedule a little bit. 9:45 is the start of Sunday school, and 11 o'clock is now the start time of this service. So just want you to make note of that. There's several other announcements that you'll find in our bulletin, upcoming events, as well as the schedule, opportunities for the week that's on the back of your bulletin. So a regular schedule today for youth, they got youth choir at 4:30, and we have our Super Bowl party here at the church. Let's see, what else? Many things are happening. The five love languages of children, that study, which was to start this past Wednesday, will start this Wednesday in the coffee house. That is for parents of children. That book is available for $10 in the church office if you want to read along with us. That's not a requirement, but it's certainly something you can do with us. Other things you'll see there listed. Reminder, we are having children's time today. That's after the first hymn, O Worship the King. I'm inviting all the children to come down front with me for just a few minutes for children's time. A reminder about our Fearless study. We are in a six-week study on Max Lucado's book called Fearless. And the role of fear in our lives and how God would want us to replace that fear and to be fearless. And that's what we're talking about. We have a companion small group that go on Sunday mornings as well as throughout the week. Those sign-ups are at the welcome desk, and we hope that you're able to take part in those small group discussions, which really drive home the point of fearless. That's what we do in those small groups. Barbie.
Church members know, and visitors, I would like to let you know that I've been involved with an orphanage in Haiti for about 10 years. That orphanage was completely demolished in the earthquake, and we were in the process of building a new facility for them. That facility is finished if you call cinder block walls finished, not finished if you call anything other than cinder block finished. There are no windows, no doors, no pipes, no wires, no floors, no nothing. But there's a roof, and there are walls, and those children are going to move into that new facility. Raymond gave me permission to put some boxes right inside the door of some supplies that I'm going to ship down to Haiti. If you would take a look at those boxes and see if you want to put anything in the boxes, that would be great. We'll be sending them probably around the 1st of March. So sheets, towels, dishes, toiletries, things like that. If your Sunday school class or your GA group or your RAs would like to do a collection of something, that would be awesome. Those boxes will be there probably for the rest of February. Part two is, put on my North Carolina Baptist man hat, I am going to Haiti on Tuesday with North Carolina Baptist men. I usually go with a different organization, so I'm not sure where I'll be. It'll be someplace around Port-au-Prince. But I would like for you to please pray for me. I'll be gone 11 days. I will see some of my partners that are there, including the one who's running this orphanage. And I will be serving in whatever capacity God gives me to serve. I've got my malaria pills. I've already started taking those. And I will leave Tuesday morning and be back the following Thursday night sometime. But please pray for me as I go to Haiti and experience that. It's as bad as it's always been, it's going to be worse, and I would really covet your prayers. So pray for, if you can bring anything to the collection boxes, but also pray for me while I'm gone. Thank you very much.
Barbie, when you do North Carolina Baptist men, you're supposed to go lower Baptist men. So not only a hat, but you got to talk Baptist men. All right. Okay, very good. Very good. I know the test that they put forward to everybody. So we are glad that you are here in worship today. It is our great pleasure to join our hearts and our minds together. We want to invite our guests, we want to say a special welcome to you this morning. We are so glad that you are here. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We would like to give something to you. Just a moment ago, you gave us your name and some information. We would like to give something back to you. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are as the ushers come back down the aisles now. Inside this packet of information, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. You'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we are especially glad you as our guest are here today. And we pray God's blessing, his voice would reach down and touch you in a mighty, mighty way as we want for all of us here as we worship today. I think that's all the announcements. Anything else? Anybody? Going once? Let us prepare for what God wants to do in us and through us during this time of worship. Will you pray with me? That is our cry. Our Father, our Lord, our Savior, we will not fear, even though everything around us scares us to death. We will not fear because you are with us. We invite you into this place. Remove our fear and replace it with your faithfulness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Children, come on down. Jason, come on. You sit right here. All right. We got some more coming. We'll wait till everybody gets here. All right. I'm so glad to see y'all this morning. Okay, I need some volunteers. Volunteer. Okay? Okay, can y'all come stand up here for me? My volunteers? Come stand up. All right. Everybody else needs to... There we go. Okay. I like it. Now, it's very important. I have a question. And I'm asking everybody here. How many of you get scared? This is the audience participation portion. If you're not raising your hand... everybody raise your hand. Thank you. Okay. Now are you scared? Okay. Everybody... Do y'all get scared? Yeah. Choir, did y'all raise your hands? Did they raise their hands?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I wasn't either. Sometimes don't we have things that scare us to death?
Yeah.
I just don't know how I can do it, right? Well, I have a word to help us think about when we face things that are really scary, really big. I have a word to help us. Okay, y'all going to help me spell this word, okay? The first word, it starts with G, okay? The word starts with G. Every time you see that letter, I want you to think of go to God in prayer. When you get scared, I want you to go to God in prayer. That's the first thing you do.
You want to pray about it, right? Think about when you're in your bed and you're scared. What do? Oh, God, please help me get that monster out of my closet. Stuff like that, right? Okay? All right. What's the next thing I want you to do? The letter I is I want you to imitate. Can you say that word with me? Imitate. Now, that is a big word. It's a very important word. When you see, you know, did you know that your parents, even Pastor Raymond, gets scared? But you know what? He's a really good person to look at. Even when he's scared, he believes in God. I want you to imitate Pastor Raymond and your parents, to imitate God, to imitate those who have great faith in God. I know. How many of you think there are ghosts in your closets? Everybody raise your hand. Thank you. Okay. Yes, Lucas, we all have those things. But I know we want. But here's the next word. Here's the next one. Is everybody, Caleb, are you listening? Caleb? Hey, Caleb. You listen. What's that letter right there? Is that an A? That's an A. I want you to ask for help. Can you say that with me? Ask for help. That's the next thing. A is ask for help. So we've got go to God in prayer. We've got imitate people. And then we've got A, ask for God, ask for help, and then N, I want you to notice God everywhere. Where's some places you see God in this room? Look around. Look around. Everywhere. Where do you see Him? Do y'all see Him? Look. Look out. Look. You see all those people? I see God in every one of those people. Because I see Him. Well, you gotta look really hard. Then, notice God, and then the final one. The final one, T, trust God. This is really important. You listening? Are you listening? Trust God. Are you listening? What did I just say, Caleb? Trust God. G-I-A-N-T. What does that spell?
Giant.
Do you know about a giant in the Bible? Goliath. Favorite Bible story, Goliath. But what happened to Goliath? Who took care of him? David took care of him. But wasn't Goliath big? You think David was scared? But guess what? He took care of him, didn't he? God took care of David, just like He takes care of us. All right? So, G-I-A-N-T. Can you remember that? Let's pray together. Let's pray. God, thank You so very much. That even when things that are in our life that scare us, that You put Yourself and so many people around us who show us how to be not to be fearful, but to be fearless. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, volunteers. Good job. Give my volunteers a hand. Good job. Y'all can go sit down. Good job.
Sharing Scripture is an important part of worship. As we look to the Scripture for what it has to say to us about how we should live out what the kids just described for us up here on the pulpit, we look first to the Old Testament in Psalm 46, where I'll be reading beginning at verse 1. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible close to you. Again, this is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And from John's Gospel in the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 23, we hear the words of Jesus. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Let the world just fade away. Let me feel your presence in this place. Lord, I've never been so weary. How I need to know you're near me. Father, let the world just fade away till I'm on my knees, till my heart can sing. He is, he was, he let your Holy Spirit sing. Let it calm this storm inside of me. As I stand amazed, lift my hands and say, He is, He was, He always doubt and every tear I shed, down every road I'm not alone, no matter where I am. He is, he was, he always will be.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I'm so encouraged to be here this morning in worship with you, to you. Lord, I'm so encouraged by all the things that you are doing around us. Lord, I'm so encouraged by the way that you're touching us in so many different ways. The way that you're guiding us through on times of defeat, and the way that you're lifting us up in times of victory. And Lord, help us to praise you through all of it. In our moments of victory, help us to shout to you from the mountaintops. In our moments of defeat, help us to turn to you like never before and to put our trust and faith in you. Lord, as you know, we are weakened sometimes by things that we're afraid of and fears that can cripple our minds. Sin that gets to us and just really brings us down and keeps us from seeing the fullness of your glory and majesty and love. Help us, Lord, to look to you and to know that even if we can't beat that on our own, that we can certainly beat it with you. Lord, help us to conquer fear. Help us to put our trust in you so that every day may be a closer walk with you and we may more experience the fullness of what you have to offer to us. Lord, thank you for this church, an opportunity to gather with others who want to know you, an opportunity to worship you at different points during the week together, an opportunity to learn more about you in Bible study and discipleship, an opportunity to come with together with others to share our experiences, not because they're all the same, because they're all unique, but we're looking for something bigger. We want to put our trust in you and we want to experience the Christian fellowship of fellow believers. Lord, thank you for this church and the things that we're trying to accomplish. Lord, please guide us. Please give us the answers of what you would have us to do, how you would like for us to help each other. Lord, help us to support each other, love each other, lift each other up, encourage each other every day. Help us to know how you'd like us to take your word into our community and encourage other people, maybe that we don't even know, maybe that don't even look like us, or maybe they don't even know about you. Help us to know how to encourage those people. And help us to understand how to do great things in your name. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in Haiti. Be with Barbie and that team this week, Lord, and bless everything that they're going to be doing down there. That's not going to be comfortable. That's not going to be easy. But they're doing it because they love you and they believe in you, and they want to carry that message to Haiti. Bless them and what they're doing. Bless us as we go out this week into the workplace and into back to school, that we go to different places around town, and as we travel, help us to carry that spirit of trust and faith and encouragement to others and help deliver that gift to anybody that we come in contact with, Lord. Thank you for all you're doing for us. Thank you for each person here, Lord. Thank you for not giving up on us, even in our fear and our weakness. Help bring us through that, Lord, and be who you created us to be. Amen.
that beautiful? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
I've told you before, I've been studying the book of John this year. And in John 11, there's the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And Jesus talked about how this would bring glory to God. The goal in our lives should be to bring glory to God. In our tithes, our offerings, our lives, we should be dedicated to glorifying God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice, for your many blessings. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to do your work and to bring glory to you. We ask that you accept our offerings, and we pray that they will be used in good stewardship to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
If there is nothing to fear but fear itself, is fear then a single and powerful entity? You see, the Greeks seem to think so. According to their mythology, Aphrodite and Ares had a child named Phobos, where we get phobia. He was the embodiment of fear. I've always found it interesting that war and love both spawned fear. Doesn't really add up or make sense. Love does not. Regardless of whether or not fear is in fact an entity, we fear fear. And why do we? It makes us feel very weak. It makes us not sure of our next move. It makes us feel out of control, and we don't like being out of control. Some fear is very healthy. Say you're placed in mortal danger. The body's going to have a fight or flight response. If you see a creature that has been angered and can easily kill you, what are you going to do? Run away. That is very, very healthy. That has kept us alive for millennia. Problem is, with men, testosterone counters any fear, and we'll usually nudge who's beside us and say, hey, watch what I'm about to do. At this point, the widow is receiving flowers, so that's about all you can do. I don't recommend that for Valentine's Day, in case you forgot. You still won't get out of it. With fear, there's also a logical fear. Fear of spiders. We are exponentially larger than they are. Most are smaller than the size of my hand, thank God. With my sister, she's terrified of these. I've tried to explain to her that you can do infinitely more damage to them than they us. She still doesn't abide by that. What she does is she's so scared she can't even kill them. So she'll take a cup and place it upside down on top of the spider so that it will either starve to death or someone else can come around and deal with it. She doesn't have to. One other fear that's very common but illogical is the fear of silence. It makes us very uncomfortable. We don't like thinking about the quiet. Everywhere we drive, we've got the radio on. There's somebody talking. There's music. Even at work, there's music going on overhead. There's never just... I've noticed several of you already fidgeting. Didn't even make it 15 seconds and you're fidgeting. You're going to look at your watch. You're going to check the bulletin. So they're thinking, oh my God, did he just forget his line? What's he going to do? Another common fear is one from which I suffer. How many of you have seen me perform before? Good majority of you. How many of you would believe that I suffer from stage fright? Okay, I see a couple of hands. Ha ha. The thing is, before I come up on stage, my mind starts to speed up, start to recount everything that I've done. Have I done everything properly? My heart rate also increases. My palms get kind of sweaty. My mouth gets very, very dry, and my hands will start to tremble, which that might kick back to how love spawned fear, because that is a very good analogy of going out on a first date or sometimes 13th date. Doesn't matter. With fear, we have healthy and we have illogical, but neither answers the question of why do we fear. So why do we fear? Is it simply to keep us alive? Or do we feel alive because we feel fear? With fear, maybe it's just that we don't like being out of control. We don't like not knowing. Humans have a tendency to have a place for everything. We have a rhyme for every reason. We have an answer for every single question that we can possibly come up with. So why do we fear? My answer is simple.
Why are we afraid? And if you say, I've never experienced fear, then Jeff and I agreed that you get to prepare and deliver next week's children's time. And then we'll have testimonial time the Sunday after that. And we'll clear that whole fear thing up right away. But why do we fear? You may say, Raymond, well, you know, we have every reason to be afraid. And that's probably true. Consider the world we live in. Look around you. Consider what we face every day. You've got the world situation being very unstable. And I think that may be the understatement of the morning. The world is very unstable. We look at the economy. We look at job losses. We look, heaven's sakes, a guy straps a bomb on his underwear and gets on a plane. I mean, what kind of world do we live in? You've got the whole 2012 fear, the Mayan calendar running out, and oh my goodness, it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. We have national debt that's spiraling. It's unbelievable. And so you sit there and you think, what about our kids? What about our grandkids? What about the kids we hope to have? What kind of future are we leaving them? We have plenty of reasons to be afraid. But the question that we really need to consider is not why do we fear? The question is, why do you fear? You may not be able to do anything about we, but you can do something about you. So why are you afraid? In other words, the climate that we live in, understand, I really believe that the climate, whether politically or socially or whatever, and all those wrapped up into one, we have become a culture that understands the power of motivating people by fear. Therefore, that is the primary motivating force in our culture. It's fear. But my question to you is, why do you let them succeed in doing that to you? Why do you let them do it? Because life circumstances look like they're spinning out of control. You have a choice on whether you're going to let that control you, whether you will let fear control you. Maybe we just haven't really considered the great seismos. You say, what in the world is the great seismos? That's kind of a pet name I have for a passage of scripture. And it begins in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27. Many of you will recognize this as the story of where Jesus calms the storm. And I'm going to read the there's only five verses there. I'm going to read those to you and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. Matthew chapter 8, beginning verse 23. Then he got into the boat, he being Jesus, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. The great seismos. Understand, life is stormy. Okay, that's the news. Life is stormy, and I think most of us can agree on that point. So what we need to do is look at this storm story a little closer. Go back to verse 23 again. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Now, the word that Matthew used here, furious, the furious storm, is seismos. And seismos literally means a quake, a trembling, a disruption of sea, sky, or earth. And it's obviously the word, the root, from where we get our word seismology, which is what? The study of? Okay, very good. Earthquakes. But maybe what you didn't know is that the same word, seismos, is used by Matthew in Matthew 27 when he talks about what happened when Jesus died on Calvary. What happened to the earth at that time. It's the same word he uses there. Then later in Matthew 28, when Jesus was resurrected, the same word. Matthew uses the same word again. And so they go, okay, wow, that, you know, that's pretty significant. It is. Because we have to assume that this storm was something approaching at least supernatural proportions. And that makes perfect sense. Because you think about it. This is a storm that scared these guys to death. You go, well, so unusual about that. These guys were raised in and around the water their whole life.
The fishermen on the crowd, you know that? I mean, they were on the, this, it was not uncommon on this sea to have tremendous storms. Because of the geographic location, the way the heating and the cooling, it was not uncommon to have tremendous storms. Yet this storm somehow was different. It made the fishermen cry like little girls. Imagine what it did to Matthew, the tax collector. Yeah, they're scared to death. They're absolutely scared to death by this thing. And I think it's worth noting. I think it's worth noting. In this instance, in resurrection, in the death on Calvary, on these three instances, whenever God is revealing the nature of His Son and who His Son is, the earth literally felt the impact of that. The creation felt the impact on the revelation of the Creator. So this passage is significant. I know it's only five verses, but for me, it is a highly significant passage of Scripture. Now, we know from passage again in verse 24, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. It came without warning. It came suddenly. Now, unlike the storm that we experienced this past weekend that we had to hear about for a week before we got here, you know, the weather guys, you know, we joke about the fact that's the only job you can be wrong 100% of the time and still keep your job. But they got the last storm right. I mean, they predicted snow, and it actually snowed in Winston-Salem. And they were so stoked all week that we had to hear about this storm all week long. And they nailed it again. They felt pretty good. That is a storm that we knew about. It's not one of those storms that blindsides you and literally just rocks your world. Let me give you an example of those type of storms. It's when the doctor walks in with a diagnosis that you know is not good. It's when you lose a loved one suddenly, unexpectedly. It's those opportunities in life to sit back and examine, you know, will my children do this or will they do that? And then they choose to do that. And it rocks your world. And in those moments, you know, you can become like Lieutenant Dan in the movie Forrest Gump. And you can be in the middle of the storm and you can be out there just screaming and yelling at God and telling Him, bring it on. Is that all you got? Come on. I mean, an amazing cinematic moment there. And it'll kind of preach. I guess I just did. It'll kind of preach because I think if we're honest, all of us have been mad at God. At some point, we've been frustrated. Maybe we didn't want to call it anger. But we've been so frustrated with God that we just cried out, why me? Why now? Why this? And in those moments, you need to understand that God is still there. God is there. He's with you. And He leads you to a point of questioning and anger and frustration and fear. And He leads you to the point of feeling the security and the calm of His presence and what that means in your life. Seek out God's presence in those storms. Jesus, we know from the passage, remained unstirred in the storm. He was having a nap. I mean, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, as he records it, it gave a little bit more detail. He said he curled up with a pillow in the stern and went to sleep. Now, he knew the storm was coming, but he curled up in the one secure place in the boat and went to sleep, took a nap. And so the question comes to our mind, well, don't Christ's followers enjoy all pleasant seas? But you see, the absence of storms does not set us apart as Christians. You know, this story sends the not so subtle and not so popular reminder that getting on board with Christ can mean getting soaked with Christ. Disciples can expect, should expect, rough waters sometimes. You know, and that's not because Jesus doesn't love us. Can we all agree? We've sung the song, Jesus loves me. This I know for the Bible. Jesus loves us. That's not the point. Mark, again, in his account of this, he says that the disciples looked at Jesus and they said, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? That's a modern translation. My guess is that's the cleaned up version of what they yelled. I'm really thinking they were probably freaked out by this point. And the point is that God does care. Jesus does care. But as long as he's there, he knows they're not going to perish. He knows that. And it's because he loves us that he stays with us in the storm. In John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "In the world you will have tribulation, troubles." It doesn't say you might. It doesn't say you may. It doesn't say, well, you could. It says you will have tribulation. I was talking with a family a couple of weeks ago that was experiencing some struggle with a loved one. And the mother looked at me and said, "You know, I know that God will not give me more than I can handle. I just wish he didn't think so highly of me." You know? And we've kind of all experienced that feeling. "God, I know you're not going to give me more than I can handle, but I think I'm there. You know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm there." And the verse that she was referencing is one that we think about a lot when we're in those type of troubles is 1 Corinthians 10:13. And Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he tells them, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it." That's a beautiful image, isn't it? He will provide you a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, the verse doesn't literally say, you know, it doesn't say he won't give you more than you can handle. It gives you a more awesome promise. And that is, God will never allow us to be tempted more than we can handle, and he will always provide us a way out. And in light of that, Paul admonishes the church at Corinth to flee from idolatry. That's actually the context of this verse. He's telling him, flee from idolatry, because that's one of the easiest sins to fall into, because we're selfish by nature. And understand, the difference for Christians is that we have to discover someone else in the storm, and that someone is Jesus. It's who we discover. And back up to verse 24, the second part of verse 24. "But Jesus was sleeping, and the disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' And he replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?'" Oh, I don't know. Maybe because the boat's getting ready to tear into 30 pieces. Maybe because the wind and the wave is beating us senseless. That may be why we're afraid. Maybe so. But that doesn't change the fact that God is still in control. Patrick did a good job of addressing the thing. Why did God give us fear? It's an emotion. It's a basic instinct. Why did he give us fear? Well, it can be healthy. As he said, it keeps us out of danger. It keeps us from standing there in the middle of a burning house going, "Wow, I bet I'm invincible in this stuff." You know, it keeps us from playing Frogger on the highway. And for those that are too young, get your mamas to explain what Frogger was. It'll come back around. It'll come in an arcade series later for PlayStation 3. But it keeps us from doing stupid things. But understand, an inappropriate response to fear is sinful. When we live in the spirit of fear, that's sinful. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." He's given us the instinct, the emotion, but he does not want us to live in the spirit. Because fear at its root is selfish. We want to protect ourselves. And if you live in fear, it literally sucks the life out of you. It's selfish because we want to do our thing at the exclusion, perhaps, of what God is trying to teach us. So maybe that passage in 1 Corinthians was more on target than we thought. Because when we care more about protecting ourselves than doing what God wants, that's idolatry by definition. Max Lucado in his book, Fearless, which I invite you to pick up a copy from the church office. Wonderful read. It really is. He says in his book, in chapter 1, and I just underlined and highlighted an exclamation point in the margin in my book. He writes this, fear will always knock on your door. Fear will always knock on your door. Just don't invite it in for dinner, and for heaven's sake, don't offer it a bed for the night. That's a good way to say it. Do you know the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels give us 125 imperatives from Jesus, straight from his mouth. It's in red letters. Okay, we know it came straight from Jesus' mouth. 125 imperatives. Out of those 125, 21 of them say something along the line of fear not, or don't be afraid, or let not your heart be troubled. You get the idea? 21 out of 125 of those. Second on the list, second most imperatives, only gets 8. 21 times he said, don't be afraid, don't fear. Why is that? He wants us to understand the danger of living in a spirit of fear. That's not what he desires. And understand, the Father is capable of calming those storms. Jesus handled the storm. He handled it. Verse 26, then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves and it was completely calm. The sea became like glass. The wind stopped. All you could hear was the fan in the choir loft. You couldn't hear it. Completely calm. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the boat and see, experience that? That kind of power over creation. And to see the disciples' faces when he did that. We don't have to wonder what they did. We get a version of it in verse 27. It says, the men were amazed and they asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What kind of man is this? Even the forces of nature obey him. And see, how you answer that question, what kind of man is this? How you answer that question will determine what kind of life that you will live. Either one filled and controlled by fear, or a life that rises above the doubts, the fears of this earthly existence. One that allows you to completely surrender to the will of God and trust Him for everything. That's what God wants for us, to live a life that is fearless. That's what He wants for you. Let's pray and ask Him for help. Gracious Father, we admit that we're human, we're mortal, we're the creation. So we're subject to weakness. We're subject to those times when we don't understand why whatever is happening to us. And so at that point, we pull in and we want to protect self. We're motivated by fear. And Father, we just pray that you would remove the spirit of fear from us. At those moments and even moments of lesser degree, help us to understand that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to reveal who he was and the power that he has and that we can have over our doubts and fears. Father, we love you because you first loved us. And we ask for your help. We ask you to give us the strength, the courage, to claim your promises, to claim the imperatives of Jesus, and to live life without fear. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This is week one of 6 weeks talking about our fears. I invite you to come every week because we're going to be examining at some specific circumstances and seeing kind of what God instructs us to be and to how he instructs us to respond to those fears. But you may be here this morning, you're going, I don't know the Jesus you're talking about. I don't have a personal relationship with the man that calmed the seas and stopped the wind. This is a morning for you. We're going to sing in just a minute. I'm going to be here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with the Creator God who loves you. If you don't want to come down this morning but want to give me a call this week, I'll be glad to meet you somewhere, come to your house, talk with you about how you can have that kind of relationship with God. You may be here this morning and you go, you hit me right on the head this morning. You hit me right on the head. I'm kind of wrapped up in that fear thing. If that is you, God doesn't want you to leave here this morning without settling it with Him. So as we sing the words that we're going to sing, as you have an opportunity, pray with God. Talk with Him. Turn loose of those fears. Allow Him to touch you at your point of fear and to help you through that. If you'd like to talk with me, I'll be glad to. I think we'll have prayer warriors that will be coming. If you'd like to come and pray here, you're welcome to do so. You may be here and you want to join this fellowship. It's a great group. Part of getting over fear sometimes is having someone come put an arm around you, give you a hug, cry with you, listen to you, take some of that burden from you. And we do that well. I got to say, we do that well. And we welcome you and be glad to talk with you about being a member at College Park. Whatever your decision is, be serious about the time that you have to sing and to lift up your prayers to God as we stand and sing together now. If you would be seated for just a moment, please. Coleman, come on up, buddy. I want to introduce to you, many of you, especially if you're the balcony dwellers, you know Coleman. This is Coleman Hastings. He's coming this morning, wants to join us by transfer of letter. Also, his wife, Chris, wants to join us by transfer of letter. She cannot be here this morning. She works every weekend except two or three during the course of the year. And so she wanted to kind of save those for holidays or sickness or those type of things when she had to be off. But Coleman and Chris both are coming by transfer a letter from, as we say, a sister fellowship in our city. And if you will love and encourage them and support them, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, buddy. Look forward to getting to know you a little bit better. Like I say, he's been worshiping with us now for probably close to a year. Yeah, pretty close to it. All right. Very good. I want to invite you to come by at the conclusion of the service. Extend a warm welcome to him and to his wife in absentia, to extend a welcome to her. So after the benediction, the response, I invite you to come greet him. Coleman, I want to ask you to be seated for just a moment. Barbie, where are you? Come here. This is Fear Not Barbie. If you've seen her, it's appropriate in a sense that, you know, we're talking about fearless, and she's leaving this week to go to Haiti, and you've seen the news reports. You know that is a fearful situation. And so we wanted to pray for her. And this was not planned, but I feel led to do this. I want to ask all of our deacons, whether you're active right now or not, I want to ask you if you would please come forward. We're going to have prayer with her to pray for her as she goes on this mission trip. And we're not being exclusive by having just deacons, but we know that these are your spiritual servant leaders, representative of the total congregation. So we want to invite you, if you would, just to gather around Barbie. If you can't get a hand on her, get a hand on someone who has a hand on her. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us, the power that you give us to live our lives, the power that you give us through the Holy Spirit to live a life that's free from fear. That same Spirit guides us, directs our path, our thoughts, our steps. And this week, your Spirit will walk with Barbie and others that we don't know by name, but we know that you know them. And they're going into an environment that is chaos, to say the least. But Father, we know that you're there, that we've heard stories of how you're blessing the people of Haiti, even in what seems to be just catastrophic circumstances. We know that you're big enough to do that. And we know that you're big enough and strong enough to do that through Barbie and those that go with her. Father, we pray that you would protect her. And we understand this is a selfish prayer, but we want her to come back safe. And Father, we just pray that you would protect her and all that go with her. That you would give them bold courage, but that you would guide them. Father, we pray for those who are hurting in Haiti, those who are hungry, those who have experienced despair and fear, perhaps even worse than they've ever experienced in their life. And we pray that Barbie and those that go will be a glimmer of hope, that the love of God would be real to them as they express it to the people there, as they feed them, take care of their needs, and tell them how you can take care of their spiritual need, the thirst that only you can quench. Father, we pray for all those that will be traveling, for the families that will be here, those who will be praying. We pray that we'd be faithful and mindful to pray daily, to pray without ceasing for the work that you're going to do in Haiti through them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. I'm going to ask Barbie to stay here with me. Stay here with me. And as you come by to speak to Hastings, I want to invite you to speak a word of encouragement to her. What'd I say? Hastings. I'm sorry, Coleman. Coleman Hastings. Coleman's going to stand here. I want to ask you now if you would stand for our benediction. Gracious God, we thank you for the chance to worship together. Father, we thank you that as your children, you care so much about us. Father, we just pray that as we go from this place, that we truly would live lives that are fearless. And that the glory for doing that would be all yours. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.